work alone. We must work together, together with whom? With the ministry, other institutions, with community friends, also with the private sector and all those who have the same vision in this tourism industry.
Semua yang punya kesamaan visi di industri pariwisata ini.
In addition to the number of domestic and foreign tourist visits, Nelu Puspa revealed the Ministry of Tourism is also targeted to provide foreign exchange for the country of 19 to 22.1 billion US dollars. According to Nelu Puspa, through Meeting Incentive Convention and Exhibition Other MICE, the tourist foreign exchange target can be achieved. Nelu further explained that MICE does not always rely on the government through the state budget, but can also be organized by the private sector and the community. Dora Pardede for Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Our next info is about Prabowo Aboriginal Haps Retreat, who said that we are servant of the people. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto said that the elected regional heads are servant of the people. Pranav has the details.
President Prabowo Subianto emphasized that elected regional leaders are servants of the people. He delivered this message during the retreat dinner at the Military Academy in Magelang, Central Java on Thursday. Prabowo said the purpose of the retreat was to promote mutual understanding and cooperation among regional leaders.
I want to emphasize this. We have become state officials. All of us, mayors, deputy mayors, regents, deputy regents, governors, and deputy governors have been elected by the people. We are all the people's servants. We are the people's administrators, and we are the people's leaders.
Prabowo also noted that although the regional leaders in attendance come from different backgrounds, they are all part of the longer Indonesian family. The dinner at the Hussein Dining Hall Military Academy Complex Magelang Central Java on Thursday, February 27, 2025, was held a part of the regional leader retreat, which served as a platform to strengthen relationship and synergy in national leadership.
Coming up next, information about United Nations said journalists have roles in climate action. Director of the United Nations Information Center in Jakarta, Miklos Gaspar, said the media in Indonesia, especially radio, has the power to tell people about climate change and urge them to do climate actions. Therefore, in his recorded remarks during the media workshop for journalists at the headquarters of Indonesia's public radio, RRI, in Jakarta on Thursday, he said journalists have an important role in creating stories that empower people to tackle climate change.
The responsibility of a journalist like you is not just to inform, but to educate and empower. Climate reporting should be about hope and action, demonstrating solutions to problems. When farmers in Java find innovative ways to adapt to drought, that's a climate story. When coastal communities in Sulawesi build resilient defenses against rising sea levels, that's a climate
solution. Furthermore, despite Indonesia's commitment to reducing emissions by 29% independently and 41% with international support, Gaspar said policy alone is not enough. Therefore, he said people should understand climate challenges and ways to face them. Gaspar further urged the journalists to take the responsibility of climate action seriously by bridging the gap between science and society, engaging communities in climate action, and using available platforms and influences to shape a more sustainable planet. Next info is about experts encourage the use of electric public transportation for a clean air. Chairman of Muhammadiyah Climate Center, Agus Jamil, encouraging the use of electric public transportation in everyday life. According to him, this effort is more effective in suppressing air pollution, which is a current concern. During an interview with RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Thursday, he stated that such efforts will be likely more effective to reduce air pollution in big cities, including in Jakarta.
The objective is to get the clean air, the climate, the less emission, the less emission. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, like, if we spend more on the EV for the public transportation, for the electric bus, because Jakarta now at the moment we have around 300 electric bus, all the commuter lines like LRT, things like that, yeah, which is one goal, you can carry a lot of people, that reduce traffic and reduce the emission. Yeah. That will be, need to consider more, yeah, to have a public transportation based on the clean fuel, like electric.
Previously, the Minister of Investment and Downstream, head of the Investment Coordinating Board, Rosan Perkasa Roslani, conveyed the government's discourse to encourage the development of the Pindad Maung tactical vehicle into an electric vehicle. According to him, this can accelerate the energy transition to renewable energy. On the other hand, PT Pindad already has one prototype, namely the Pindad Morino EV, which was introduced some time ago. Based on the information on the official PT Pindad website, the Morino EV is a light, four-wheeled electric vehicle to support operations with high mobility. Meanwhile, a state-owned food company ensures food stability during the Islamic month of Ramadan. Director of the Indonesian State-Owned Food Holding Company, ID Food, says Afik Wijayanto, ensured food availability during Ramadan this year. In a press conference on Thursday, he urged the food sellers to not raise prices above the highest retail price set up by the government. We, as the state-owned food holding company, always support food availability with prices that align with those set by the government. Even at yesterday's meeting with the National Police Chief, the main point was that there should be no exceedance about the highest retail price. This is the appeal. So the hope is that sellers can maintain this and not take an advantage by raising prices. Despite its status as a commercial company, ID Food is assigned by Indonesian government to maintain food availability and its price stability alongside other institutions, especially 10 foodstuffs such as sugar, meat and cooking oil. Sis Apik added that the company has involved the state-owned postal company Post Indonesia to ensure smooth food distribution. Last but not least, we have information about Indonesian nutritionists suggest more protein to eat in Ramadan. An Indonesian dietitian's nutritionist, Wita Rizky Amelia, suggested Muslims not eating much carbohydrate during their month-long Ramadan fast. In a VOI talk interview by RRI Voice of Indonesia on Friday, she advised Muslims to eat more proteins while taking the sahur, or pre-fasting meal before the dawn.
Before dawn, every people try to eat mostly were carbohydrates, right? Mm-hmm. But actually, what we need is not just carbohydrates. We need to have an endurance during the day, so we need mostly were proteins, okay? Because if you eat a lot of carbohydrates in sugar, you cannot have the endurance during the day.
Amelia added that a fasting person should also eat vegetables and avoiding eating lots of sugar. According to her, eating too much sugar can accelerate dehydration during fasting. Amelia also advised people like congenital disease to see the doctor before fasting to check up their health condition. Well, listener, that was some information that happens in Indonesia this week on Highlight of the Week. Before we're moving on to our next info, let's listen to a song.
Thank you. For staying tuned in Indonesia today. Danantara has launched on February 24, 2025. For the initial stage, it is projected to have funding of 320 trillion rupiah or 20 billion US dollar. Danantara is also projected to be a global investment firm like Malaysia's Khazanah or Singapore's Temasek. But can Danantara increase investment value in Indonesia? Here is Rahma with Eko Listianto, Deputy Director of INDEF in VOI Talk, that was taken from Wednesday on February 26, 2025.
We have already proven our commitment to managing Indonesia's wealth and assets with very careful financial discipline and responsible governance. In our first 100 days, my administration secured over $20 billion in savings, funds that were once trapped in inefficiency, corruption, misallocation, but will now be channeled into 20 high-impact national projects, creating real long-term benefits for our people.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome to VOI Talk with me, Rahma, that you can enjoy on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App Channel VOI, and also YouTube channel live on VOI Official. Listener, Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto on Monday launched Daya Anagata Nusantara, or Danantara Investment Management Agency. This agency will function as Indonesia's sovereign wealth fund to manage national investments. So can Danantara increase investment value in Indonesia? We'll talk more about this with our today's source joining us. Here on Zoom, we have Eko Listianto, Deputy Director of Institute for Development of Economics and Finance, or INDEF. Good morning, Pak Eko. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Mbak Rahma.
Welcome to VOI Talk. So we just talked a bit about Danantara that is recently launched. How promising you'll see this program?
Okay, I think this is a new innovation from the government about this institution. About the prospect of this new institution, I think we still have some question maybe about how to make sure that this Danantara will make a big profit and share the dividend for the government. I think overall we have opportunity to make sure that in the future we have we have a lot of money or liquidity to make sure that our economic growth will be better. But so far, if we look at the structure of the Danantara and also the plan for, I think, for the middle and the long term, we still has a challenge, I think, for explain, especially to the public, because this is not easy to explain to the public actually, because this is a super holding. It's so many I think new word and for the common people, but overall I think we have a chance to make Indonesia better, especially in the economic good with this institution, because actually the big challenge for the Indonesia to achieve 8% economic growth is about how to make sure that there is enough liquidity in to grow the economic.
Okay, before going deeper into the challenges how to run it, let's have more insight to our listeners and viewers about Danantara itself. What is it all about? How it will be running, and who's or which behind this agency?
Danantara, this is actually a super holding. The money, it come from the dividend from the some of our several SOEs, set on enterprise. And this institution, the Danantara, will manage their dividend, this dividend, to invest and to do some project to make sure that it will give profit for this Danantara, and also with this profit they will make a bigger investment and also give the dividend for the government. This is the the general concept like this, but because this is a big holding, so Danantara can invest both of in domestic and in abroad investing in both also. This is like we call a sovereign wealth fund, but with the a big role, yeah, in economy.
Okay, and talking about the investment, what sectors will Danantara invest in, and how can it increase investment in Indonesia?
Okay, Mbak Rama, in Danantara, it's actually separate to a big holding. Yeah, it's called operational holding and also investment holding. The operational holding will manage not just investment, but this is also operational. Actually, they also manage the project, and try to invite another or maybe investor, but both of from domestic and also from the outside of Indonesia, from the abroad, And for the investment holding, it's manage just invest, just invest. It's mean just invest in some maybe a project, maybe we call maybe government bond and everything that will give return, so this is like a passive income, we call that, and that's in operational, they also do also involve in all of we call it the operational of this this project. So this is the different. So if we talk about what will the Danantara do with this big money from the government or from the SOEs, they try to invest in some strategic project, like downstream industry, and also even in artificial intelligence. President said there are about 20 potential project. But I think in the detail, we need to wait the explanation from the Danantara itself.
Yes, but what I got information that it's also still pay attention to, for example, green economy that related to climate change like that. What about the mechanism of Danantara for managing state assets to make them more productive?
To make them more productive, I think we can call it capital. The Danantara come from big SOEs, so in BRI or Mandiri and also MindID, there is so many talent that they can try to get a more profitable project and so on and so on. And I think with this a good human resource from this Danantara holding, I think there are some chance to make a profit, make a good project. I think that's all about the how to make a productive. So we need also to more information, I think, from the government and from the Danantara, because this is just a 3-day, I think, the announcement from the president.
Okay. And you think will it have an impact on micro, small, and medium enterprises and the people's economic sector?
Yeah, we hope. This Danantara will give some impact from the MSMEs. I think the first challenge is to prove to the public, to make sure that this Danantara will make more profitable, yeah, for the government. It's the I think the yeah, let's we call it quick win, yeah, quick win from the Danantara, yeah. So MSMEs also will involved in this project, I think, because one of the purpose of this institution is to create more job, yeah. So more job, it means need to involve the MSME, but I think in the short term, in yeah, they try to prove that they will make a bigger profit, yeah, to make sure that they will in the next step they will try to invite MSMEs too to join the project, yeah, in some area project, of course, not in all project, I think.
Okay, you said earlier about profit. Then another important thing is transparency, accountability. How do you think the government guarantee those issues?
Yeah, with the big question from the public right now, I think the transparency is still the big challenge, yeah. Especially for the short term. Yeah, public still confused about the mechanism of the Danantara transparency and governance. It's still a big question. Even the government said that there are so many we call it yeah, monitoring institution, I think, yeah, or evaluating institution from many stakeholder, but the big challenge for this institution is to explain for the public, yeah, because we can see that the CEO of the Danantara is also ministry in one department, yeah, so this is not easy. I think a good explanation that that is a due action that, yeah, they need to, especially for the executive Danantara, need to yeah, independent, yeah, not I think not yeah, they have some position in some strategic institution. I think it's not good for the public, yeah. So yeah, we know that so far public still yeah, I can say distrust, yeah, with this governance, yeah, because the structure is still confused, especially for the public.
Okay. Transparency and communication to public to strengthen distrust. And talking about the organizational structure of Danantara, like you mentioned before, that it is led by Minister of Investment and Downstreaming. There are also former presidents of Indonesia as the advisory council, and there is also British former Prime Minister Tony Blair in the supervisory council. So what is your opinion about this structure, especially Mr. Blair?
Okay, Batama. In short, I can say that it's still not enough for public, yeah, and also for the investor to give like a good explanation, I think, yeah, for the public, and also good guarantee, yeah, that this institution will give a profit and also give a good governance, yeah, because yeah, if we look at the background for this people, I think, yeah, executive in there, it's still a big doubt, I think, yeah, because yeah, this is, the backgrounds come from a politic area, yeah, not investor area, in some in some of the people, yeah, in the executive, yeah, and also I think the double job from the CEO and as a minister and also as a CEO, it's I think, yeah, give a bad signal, yeah, for the market, I think, so far. So we need Yeah, I think for the Danantara with the final decision, it's still in some a good strategic position for the CEO and for the executive, or yeah, they need to choose the position.
Okay, so with the organizational structure and the mechanism that we talk about before, can really Danantara increase investment value in Indonesia?
Yeah, I think we have a chance in this aspect, yeah, because before Danantara, the dividend from the government is just become a state budget, yeah, and also we disburse, and that's all. There is no profit in there. So after Danantara come, yeah, I think we can manage this dividend, and also we can invest more in some strategic project. So this is the big chance for us to make investment bigger and bigger, and also, yeah, of course we need transparency, accountability. It's also the challenge for today, but yeah, I think for the long term, we have a chance to make the investment bigger in Indonesia.
Okay. And in other countries, there is also this sovereign wealth fund, like in the Singapore Temasek or GIC. How do we compare with that? And how do you think that we can be like the Singapore sovereign wealth fund?
Okay, yeah, in short we can imagine Danantara is like Temasek actually. It's a little bit different with GIC, yeah, because GIC is, they try to manage the international reserve from the central bank, yeah. But Temasek is holding from some of state-owned enterprises, so I think this is similar with Temasek, yeah. But we still try to make a bigger as Temasek in not in just in terms in asset, but in the activity. I think yeah, this is still a big challenge for us to. Yeah, we hope one day we will become the like Temasek or maybe Kasana in Malaysia.
Or what things that we can learn from the Temasek or the other country's sovereign wealth fund?
Okay, I think the lesson learned that we can try to from this Temasek, I think first is about the governance. Yeah, I think this is a good Temasek. Yeah, has a good governance. Yeah, we can look from the from the standard, yeah, and also from the Moody's S&P accreditation. The first grade, I think. So Danantara still have challenge to at least same with Temasek in some area, yeah, like in the grade, also the we need to start, I think. Start from the international standard for the governance. I think if we can make this institutional aspect, yeah, we will have a chance, yeah, to one day we'll become like a Temasek.
Okay, and
final
question is, what is the key success so we can be like the Temasek or Norway's sovereign wealth funds, and then your expectation, please, for Danantara?
Yeah, Mbak Rahma, my first expectation is about the clarity, or we need to make sure that the executive from the Danantara is independent people. Yeah, there is no some of position, yeah, it will confuse from the public and also for the investor. And if there is no change in this structure, I think the investors never come, yeah, because there is so they always doubt about the position. Yeah. And the second, my expectation is about the chance for the Danantara to become a game changer, I think, for the saving investment gap in Indonesia. So the big problem in Indonesia is actually about how to achieve more than 5% in GDP growth. The first thing that we need to tackle is about the more liquidity. Yeah. And more liquidity will come from, yeah, I think Danantara has a chance to invite more liquidity to Indonesia, yeah, to the domestic market. So yeah, let's see. Yeah, we need to give opportunity for the Danantara to prove that they will invite more investor, yeah, and create more project that will make Indonesia economic better.
So the key success, according to you, for Danantara?
Okay, the key success is, of course, is about the governance. This is the top priority for me.
Okay. Danantara, 2 days just launched. We still have long time to go, and hopefully we can see the real implementation of Danantara to increase investment value in Indonesia. Eko Listianto, thank you so much, Deputy Director of INDEF, Institute for Development of Economics and Finance. Thank you.
Thank you, Marama.
Well, listeners, that's today's VOI talk about Danantara Investment Management Agency that was just launched on Monday by Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto, whether it will increase investment value in Indonesia. Hopefully. Well, listeners, stay tuned for more insightful VOI talk only on Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
More from Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Coming down here, and I'm falling.
that was our dialogue today about Danantara. Can Danantara increase investment value in Indonesia? Now let's move it on to our next segment. Here is Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, today's Indonesian Wonder takes you to Gili Iang, located in Sumenep Regency, Madura Island, which is the best place to experience the freshest air in Indonesia. With an oxygen level of 20.9%, it surpasses other regions. Gili Iang has been recognized as the second best oxygen zone in the world, following the Dead Sea in Jordan. This island even went viral as the island of eternal youth. Gili Iang also offers various attractions around the island, such as Batu Cangga, a steep cliff facing the Java Sea. In the local language, Batu Cangga means rock that supports a cliff. This natural wonder features hollow formations resembling tunnels, naturally supported by rocks that look like pillars of a house. Covering an area of 9.15 square kilometers, the island can be explored within just a day. However, if you wish to stay longer and enjoy its fresh air, locals offer their homes for rent at negotiable prices. To reach Gili Iang, you can take a sea taxi, a term used by the people of Dungkak. The sea taxi is a motorized wooden boat. The journey to Gili Iang by sea taxi takes about 30 to 40 minutes from Dungkak Harbor, depending on weather conditions and wave height. The distance between Gili Iang and Dungkak Harbor is about 9 kilometers, while the distance from Dungkak Harbor to Sumenep City Center is about 30 kilometers. Dungkak Harbor and Gili Iang are separated by the Java Sea. Gili Iang has two docks, Ropet Beach in Banras Village, located on the eastern tip of the island, which serves as a port for fishermen, and a passenger dock in Banchamara Village on the island's western tip. Well, listeners, that's today's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Come on. setiap menyanyi hari ini.
Inilah siaran luar negeri Voice of Indonesia. Siaran dalam bahasa Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia menyajikan berita, informasi dan hiburan, serta serba-serbi tentang Indonesia. Anda dapat mendengarkan serta mengakses siaran kami setiap hari di SW 3325 kHz dan 4755 kHz. Atau melalui website www.voinews.id dan aplikasi RRI Digital. Voice of Indonesia, dari Indonesia untuk dunia. From Indonesia to the world.
Dari Jakarta, inilah Voice of Indonesia, siaran internasional Radio Republik Indonesia. Halo, selamat bergabung pendengar di seluruh dunia. Kembali lagi bersama saya Agus Antika dalam siaran berbahasa Indonesia, hanya di Voice of Indonesia. Satu jam ke depan kita akan menemani Anda dengan informasi terkini, musik Indonesia yang berkualitas, dan suasana santai yang menghangatkan pastinya. Diawali dengan berita terkini dari tanah air bersama rekan saya, Sumarno.
Voice of Indonesia menyampaikan warta berita. Inilah sore berita penting. Presiden Prabowo mengatakan kepala daerah terpilih adalah abdi dan pelayan rakyat. Kementerian Pariwisata optimistis tahun 2025 mencapai 14,6 hingga 16 juta kunjungan wisatawan mancanegara. Bersama saya Sumarno, inilah warta berita selengkapnya. Presiden Republik Indonesia Prabowo Subianto menegaskan kepala daerah yang telah terpilih merupakan abdi dan pelayan rakyat. Hal itu disampaikan Presiden Prabowo Subianto saat jamuan santap malam retreat di Akademi Militer atau AKMIL, Magelang, Jawa Tengah. Presiden Prabowo menjelaskan, tujuan retreat adalah saling mengenal dan membangun kerjasama antar kepala daerah.
Saya sampaikan dan saya tegaskan kembali, kita sudah menjadi pejabat negara, kita semuanya wali kota, wakil wali kota, bupati, wakil bupati, gubernur, wakil gubernur. Kita semua dipilih rakyat. Kita abdi rakyat. Kita pelayan rakyat. Kita pemimpin rakyat.
Presiden Prabowo Subianto juga menyampaikan seluruh kepala daerah yang hadir memiliki latar belakang, tetapi merupakan keluarga besar bangsa Indonesia. Jamuan makan malam bersama para kepala daerah dan taruna di ruang makan Ocean Kompleks Agremil Militer Magelang, Jawa Tengah ini digelar dalam rangka retreat kepala daerah sebagai wadah untuk mempererat hubungan dan sinergi dalam kepemimpinan nasional. Perintah selanjutnya, Badan Legislasi DPR RI melakukan kunjungan kerja ke Nusa Tenggara Barat untuk menyerap aspirasi terkait revisi Undang-Undang Perlindungan Pekerja Migran Indonesia atau PMI. Kunjungan ini bertujuan untuk memperkaya substansi revisi Undang-Undang Nomor 18 tahun 2017 dan menyelesaikan berbagai persoalan PMI, mulai dari PMI ilegal hingga perlindungan hukum dan hak asasi. Ketua Badan Legislasi DPR RI Bob Hasan mengungkapkan bahwa NTB merupakan salah satu daerah penyumbang PMI terbesar di Indonesia.
Lihat bahwa NTB ini kan termasuk penyerap tenaga kerja atau pekerja migran Indonesia yang cukup besar. Kalau nggak salah tadi ranking penyimpat ya. Yang legal itu ada 50 ribu lebih yang bekerja di luar negeri. Namun demikian tidak terdata dengan jelas, mungkin jauh lebih banyak yang tidak resmi. Menjadi penting sekali bahwa penyusunan undang-undang kita kali ini harus betul-betul memiliki novelty, pembaharuan yang dimana kita juga harus meningkatkan human rights, hak asasi manusia, sekalipun itu mereka adalah pekerja migran yang ilegal.
Oleh karena itu, menurut Bob Hasan, yang merupakan legislator dari fraksi Partai Gerindra, Balik DPR RI berupaya mengumpulkan data empiris sebagai bahan perumusan konsep naskah akademik revisi undang-undang. Revisi undang-undang ini diharapkan memberikan perlindungan optimal bagi PMI, mulai dari proses pemberangkatan hingga kepulangan, serta meningkatkan kesejahteraan dan kepastian hukum bagi mereka yang bekerja di luar negeri. Kunjungan kerja ini merupakan bagian dari upaya DPR RI untuk memastikan regulasi yang dihasilkan benar-benar menjawab kebutuhan dan permasalahan yang dihadapi oleh PMI. Berita terakhir, Kementerian Pariwisata menargetkan jumlah wisatawan mancanegara yang berkunjung ke Indonesia pada 2025 mencapai angka 14,6 hingga 16 juta kunjungan. Sementara itu, jumlah wisatawan Nusantara ditargetkan sebesar 1,8 miliar pergerakan. Hal tersebut disampaikan Wakil Menteri Pariwisata Niluh Puspa saat memberikan sambutan pada pelantikan Dewan Pengurus Pusat Federasi Olahraga Kreasi Budaya Indonesia, POKBI, periode 2024-2029 di Jakarta. Dengan kolaborasi berbagai pihak, Niluh Puspa optimis dapat mencapai target tersebut.
Tapi kita harus selalu optimis, kerja-kerja deputi ini luar biasa sekali, kami akhirnya bagus juga ya, akhirnya kita terpikir untuk, wah ini harus kolaborasi, gak bisa kita kerja sendiri. Pada akhirnya kita sama-sama menurunkan ego masing-masing bahwa kerja-kerja yang memberikan dampak positif bagi masyarakat tidak boleh berhenti dengan efisiensi. Justru disinilah kita harus menyadari bahwa kita tidak bisa kerja sendiri, ya harus bareng-bareng. Bareng-barengnya dengan siapa? Dengan kementerian lembaga lain, juga dengan teman-teman komunitas, juga dengan swasta, dan semua yang punya kesamaan visi di industri pariwisata.